How are you feeling about your list? How are you feeling about everything leading up to Friday and Saturday?
Really excited, like pumped, like jacked. Like it's you know, 8 picks in the first 4 rounds, and I'm not dismissing the 6th round pick, but that's the bulk of our work. And
yep.
This is a combination of a season long of traveling across the globe, trying to get these guys in order and evaluate them and rank them. So our group's pumped, they're engaged, like we're ready to go.
It's always like Christmas Eve around this time for your group. Doesn't matter if you got 2 picks or 9 picks, but does it feel a little like, are you even that much more energized with 9?
For sure we are, because in 28 too, and the multiple picks in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, because, you know, like you've been around it a lot. When you're here and you have 2 picks in the first 100 and the first one's maybe in the 40s, that's a lot of work you do, knowing that realistically you're not going to get to move up. So you try and keep, that's why I say engage, our guys are engaged. You try to stay engaged, you try and motivate them, you try and keep it, but human nature is like, we know we're not getting in the top 30, you know. Yep. So that engagement, it provides energy for the whole group, and I think it shows management like these guys are invested. So I think having more picks absolutely is a different vibe around the meetings and around the whole draft than if you only have, like I said, 2 in the first 100 picks or so.
Well, and for your staff, like with 9 picks, I mean, day 2, you got 2 on day 1 and then 7 on day 2, like your group is going to be going a mile a minute. You almost prepare them for, hey, this is going to be a little bit different. Like you got to be dialed the whole time.
We usually are. We think we are. Tree was really good. And even Connie last year in his first year, he made sure we were at the table, that we weren't just waiting to cross names out. Like we were talking, and it was more in groups of 10 or 15. Okay, what's going on? Nothing. See anything? Do you want to move up? In this case, we got to be ready, like first, right at the drop of the mic. And then as soon as that pick's over, we're going to be monitoring really quickly to see 28. And then same thing, come back tonight. We reorganize a bit, and then day 2 is going to go, you know, fast day 2 goes. You don't have as much time. So we're going to have our brains on in full mode at the table. Maybe a couple Red Bulls.
Right, which is good. A few coffees. And you're always ready to move up or move down. You're always, the staff's always ready to be nimble. But with so many extra picks, are you even more prepared for a move up, move down scenario?
I think the way we do our list, we've always done it, is to just do the list, not worry about the strategy. And then after the list is done, then you get into the more strategy. So we have levels of players. Say we have 28, say we have 20 players for 28 guys. Then you can, that's when the move up or move down comes. And then with the analytics department, what makes sense mathematically for picks, 2 picks for 1 pick are moving down. So I don't sense a move down, but you never know what happens. Yep. Maybe something happens where we get an extra pick next year. So we got to be ready for everything. But for us, the scouts, it's more about having the names attached than just numbers.
Let's talk a little bit about this draft class. With so many defensemen that could be gone in the first 10, 15, and it doesn't feel like there's a ton separating them. How do you separate them? What's the difference for you? What are some of the things that will make a decision when you've got so many players that are close together?
It's to be honest, it's not easy. And for me personally, we just keep going over it and rehashing it and trying to go through history to see what's more important. Is there a style of player type that's more important, or is there one that's more rare? And we've used our analytics group, did a big project this year about 3 months ago. You know, Michael Charron led it, and it wasn't eye-opening, is what we thought. So it's separating them, and it's still hard, because if you have 2 different distinct player types, and you can see like the Stanley Cup champions both have one of each, not just this year but going back, and you say, okay, so now you still have to pick one, you only get to pick one of them. So it's hard, but that's what we have to do. And we talk it out. There's been a lot of discussions, and you have a lot of experience in the room with Don and obviously Connie and Dave Nonis and Brad Pascal. So there's a lot of experience to help us sort it out. And at the end of the day, we just got to put it in order. We like to get all 9.
The idea that this could be, or there could be, a run on defense here, does that maybe open up some value picks at forward, perhaps, the way that you look at the, especially in the top 10?
I don't think early it does. I think our list is set, and we're going to follow it, cross names off, and whoever next, that's who we're going to pick. So, but to answer your question a little more deeply, if you were in the 18 or 19, and I think you're going to see movement. There's already been a few trades up.
Absolutely.
And I think, I'm not going to speak for those teams, but you know, maybe that's why, because they see that they want to get in position to take one of the top 6 or 7 defensemen in the draft.
What type of player do you anticipate you'll be getting with your first pick at ninth overall?
I think we're going to get an eventual guy that can contribute at a high level offensively or defensively, or preferably both. But the skill part, the goal scoring part, the offensive part, it's hard to come by. And to be able to have players that can shut down those high end guys, that's equally valuable. That's why I say you talk about the different types. So we're going to get a good player. I'm not even worried about that. Like, I know we're going to get a good player. By default, we're going to get a good player, and it's going to be a player that's going to contribute to winning. And Matt Brown's done a lot of his mental performance stuff, and we also think we're going to get a guy that's going to contribute to culture.
So the whole idea of this is not a very strong draft, not a very strong first round, you don't buy into that, do you?
I did early. I thought it was at the start of the year, but so many different names have emerged that I wasn't aware of, or our staff wasn't aware of, all over the world, has really made that not true to our evaluation right now. And I'm not just talking about nine. I'm talking about right into the third and fourth round. We think we're going to really, really contribute to our prospect base.
When you take a look at the different tiers, what is number 28 showing you right now?
We're going to get a really good player. It's at the top, you're probably more heavy defense. There's still defensemen there at 28 possibly, but it's probably switched as far as like probably 65, 35 forwards. But at 28, that's a long way to cross names off your list. So we're going to get a good player. That's why I say we're excited. Even we're talking about 41 and stuff. And I just like, the group we talked this morning, and like, please let's just keep those three for sure, and then we can start strategizing or moving up. But we want to make sure we at least make those three picks.
Okay.
So you're actually feeling pretty good about the depth of this year's class too, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. It's for me, it's the staff who's out there. They're the ones beating the bushes and traveling all over the place and going to the rinks and leaving their families on a Sunday night or a Saturday night. And for me, I want to advocate for them. And so I can tell you, like, as a group, we're into the 60s, like top 60, 62, I think it was. But for them, that's when I want to advocate for them, because now I know who has a real strong feeling for one of the players in their areas. And that's important for me, that they have say and that they feel like they're valued.
How does the goaltending factor in? And I know Jordan's group is always doing a lot of work. So how does your group decide, hey, you know what, this is the time to go goaltender, if you decide to do that, or in the past when you've done that?
Well, Jordan does unbelievable work with background and information, and he has a really keen sense of where guys are going to go. So we take his list, and then the area guy, wherever the goalie is, we talk about them, and then we went through our list this morning, and we slotted them into an area. And we do it the same way without putting we have the goalie list, but it's separate from the original list.
Yep.
But I know, like, if it gets, I don't even know what the number was, say it gets to our third round pick at 70, and I know that I'll be able to go over to Jordan now, because he's got three guys at that pick or whatever.
Yep. Okay.
So what now? So here we are. We're talking on Thursday. The draft is Friday night. You're pretty much set on your list. What could change things? Like, what in the past, what are things that could slightly alter a list that you've been working for a year on?
Not much, to be honest with you. Not much. It's the only thing that would change is if there was a trade, if Connie moved up or moved down or moved the pick for a player or whatever. But that's why we try and stay away from that part, so we have our list in order.
So you feel confident that if they were like, hey, we're moving up, we're actually going to start it right now, like, you'd feel confident going right up and sitting down and working off your list this instant?
I would love to go right, like, in 2 hours right over there and let's get this thing going, yeah.